1910. February 1st, 1910. How to Become Strong Christians. Ellen G. White. Those who are of the household of faith should never neglect the assembling of themselves together, for this is God's appointed means of leading His children into unity, in order that in Christian love and fellowship they may help, strengthen, and encourage one another. My brethren and sisters, if you would come together for prayer meetings, if, after confession of sin and humiliation of soul, you would have a love feast, every heart filled with true love for his brethren, you would see the salvation of God. As brethren of our Lord, we are called with a holy calling to a holy, happy life. Having entered the narrow path of obedience, let us refresh our minds by communion with one another and with God. As we see the day of God approaching, let us meet often to study His Word and to exhort one another to be faithful to the end. These earthly assemblies are God's appointed means by which we have opportunity to speak with one another and to gather all the help possible to prepare, in the right way, to receive in the heavenly assemblies the fulfillment of the pledges of our inheritance. Remember that in every assembly you meet with Christ, the Master of assemblies. Encourage a personal interest in one another, for it is not enough to simply know men. We must know men in Christ Jesus. We are enjoined to consider one another. This is the keynote of the gospel. The keynote of the world is self. Christ declares to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Christians are to reveal to the world that they are wearing the yoke of the great teacher and learning of him his meekness and lowliness. As obedient sons and daughters of God, they are to fulfill their obligations to him, giving to the world a proper representation of his character. Thus they become lights in the world. The Christian pilgrim is not left to walk in darkness. Jesus leads the way. Those who follow him walk in the sunshine of his presence. The path that the pilgrim treads is clear and defined. Christ's righteousness goes before him, the righteousness that makes possible the good works characterizing the life of every true Christian. God is his reward. He walks in the light as Christ is in the light. As he travels onward in the Christian journey, he combines faith with earnest endeavor to win others to accompany him. Constantly receiving the light of Christ's presence, he reflects this light to others in words of encouragement and deeds of self-denial. He bears the sign of obedience to God's law, which distinguishes him from those who are not following the pathway that leads to life eternal. The Christian pilgrim cannot be sour, gloomy, depressed. It is a misrepresentation of the Christian faith to be surly, unreasonable, or sour in spirit. My brethren and sisters, no longer cherish such a spirit. Heed the apostles' admonition to provoke one another unto love and good works. How can you do this? By conscientious, consistent behavior. Occasionally pause to sum up the results of such a course, to ascertain whether it is the wisest course to pursue. You will find that careful regard for one another's needs, kindly words of sympathy, and thoughtful assistance in helping others in their work encourage not only them, but yourselves as well, because you thus become laborers together with God. May 1st, 1910. The Secret of Success. Ellen G. White. The Lord's servants are merely stewards. The Lord will work through them when they surrender themselves to Him to be worked by the Holy Spirit. When by faith men place themselves in the Lord's hands, saying, "Here am I, send me," He undertakes this work. But men must get out of the Lord's way. they must not hinder his purposes by their devising. For years, the Lord has had a controversy with his people because they have followed their own judgment and have not relied on divine wisdom. If the workers get in the Lord's way, hindering the advancement of the work, thinking that their brain power is sufficient for the planning and carrying forward of the work, the Lord will correct their error. By his divine spirit, he enlightens and trains every worker. He shapes his own providence to carry forward his work according to his mind and judgment.
If men would only humble themselves before God, if they would not exalt their judgment as the all-controlling influence, if they would make room for the Lord to plan and work, the Lord would use the qualifications he has given them in a way that would glorify his name. He will purify his workers from all selfishness, trimming down their superfluous plans, cutting off the branches that would entwine around this and that undesirable object, pruning the vine so that it will produce fruit. God is the great husbandman. He will make everything in the lives of those who are laborers together with Jesus Christ subservient to his great purpose of growth and fruit-bearing. It is his plan, by conforming his servants day by day to the image of Christ, by making them partakers of the divine nature, to cause them to bear fruit abundantly. He desires his people, through actual experience in the truth of the gospel, to become true, trustworthy, experimental missionaries. He would have them show results far higher, holier, and more definite than have been revealed in the last 15 years. The potter takes the clay in his hands and molds and fashions according to his own will. He kneads it and works it. He tears it apart and then presses it together. He wets it and then dries it. He lets it lie for a while without touching it. When it is perfectly pliable, he continues the work of making from it a vessel. He forms it into shape and, on a wheel, trims and polishes it. He dries it in the sun and bakes it in the oven. Thus it becomes a vessel unto honor, fit for his use. So the great master desires to mold and fashion us. And as the clay is in the hands of the potter, so we are to be in his hands. We are not to try to do the work of the potter. Our work is to yield ourselves to the molding of the master worker. It is not a great number of institutions, large buildings, and wonderful display that God requires, but the harmonious action of a peculiar people, a people chosen by God and precious, united with one another, their lives hid with Christ in God. The Lord will never place one man as a controlling power over another man. Every man is to stand in his lot and in his place, exerting a right influence in thought, word, and judgment. When all God's workers do this, and not till then, will the work be completed symmetrically. June 1, 1910. Ministering to Christ, Ellen G. White. Christ identifies his interests with those of his people. He has plainly stated that we can minister to him by ministering to his suffering ones. Words of encouragement and cheer spoken when the soul is sick and the pulse of courage is slow, these are regarded by the Savior as if spoken to himself. The heavenly angels look on in pleased recognition. In no better way can we express our love to God than by unselfish, self-sacrificing actions, performed because the grace of God has been incorporated into our hearts. In all our ways, we are to reveal the Savior. We can express gratitude to God by reproducing the Christ likeness in our lives.
God has chosen human beings to cooperate with Him in communicating His blessings to the world. As we take a kindly interest in those who are members of the household of faith, we are making God's goodness known. Christ sees the travail of His soul and is satisfied. Then let us do our best to help one another. Be assured that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. God would have those who are leaders in His work first submit themselves to be led. While on this earth, we are to bear witness to God's goodness by our obedience to His commandments. The Lord declares, "Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and your land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely." Let those who try to serve God and mammon remember the warning given by Christ. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The experiment has been tried and pronounced impossible. Those who trust in God and serve God are not attracted by the world. Those who substitute riches, property, earthly treasure of any kind for the Lord will reap the sure result, separation from God and heaven. They lay their souls upon the altar of mammon, placing gain where godliness should be. Two ways are presented before every soul: the way of obedience to God's commandments, which brings the rich blessings of heaven, and the way of disobedience, which brings death. For no sinner can inherit eternal life. Those who are awakened by the message of warning have a serious decision to make. They go to their pastors for instruction, and he should never attempt to quench the spirit which is leading his people to seek for more light.
July 1, 1910. The Power of God. Ellen G. White. The angels of God, who excel in wisdom and strength and in all efficiency, whether for judgment or mercy, fulfill their mission in the world. They are sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Those who are walking in the light of God's commandments are very precious in His sight. He says, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." In the last days, Satan will use all his powers against God's people, to afflict, to distress, to discourage them, and to cause them all the trouble he possibly can. Those who know the truth and yet unite with him in this work have lost their spiritual anointing. They are blinded by the sophistry of the enemy and cannot see afar off. They have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. A single angel appeared to the Roman guard on his mission from the heavenly courts, and lo, they lay as dead men. What made the Roman soldiers quake and tremble and fall as dead men to the ground? The power of God. In the protection of his people, God has caused his army so to deal with human powers that 185,000 men were slain in one night. The 37th chapter of Isaiah contains instruction of the highest value. Read the prayer that Hezekiah offered to the Lord. He received a threatening letter from the king of Assyria, which contained these words: "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered?
Hezekiah took the letter and went up to the house of God and spread it before the Lord, saying, Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. And God said concerning the king of Assyria, He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow here, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come unto this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city, to save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth, and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Age, position, or influence cannot save one of us from sudden sickness or calamity if the Lord says, It is done. Therefore, let not those who have the light of truth be presumptuous. In the midst of cherished enterprises, the Lord may speak, and it will be done. It is the wisdom of minister and people to hold themselves always in a spiritual readiness for anything that may occur. Let all follow the example of Hezekiah. Let us pour out the soul in humiliation and fasting and prayer. October 1, 1910. The Secret of the Christian Character. Ellen G. White. Just in proportion as we empty the soul temple of self-sufficiency, self-dependence, and self-exaltation, will we realize the work that needs to be done to purify the soul, body, and spirit before we can be filled with all the fullness of God. When this work is done, the power of God will be revealed, and the truth will be a mighty power in enlightening the mind, sanctifying the soul and spirit. Then genuine conversions will be made to Bible truth. Who is willing to lay his finger upon his cherished idols of sin and allow Christ to purify the temple by casting out the buyers and sellers? Who is prepared to allow Jesus to enter the soul and cleanse it from everything that tarnishes or corrupts? The standard is, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God calls upon men and women to empty their hearts of self. Then his Spirit can find an unobstructed entrance. Stop trying to do the work yourself. Ask God to work in and through you until the words of the apostle become yours. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The whole being must hunger and thirst after righteousness. The soul's desire must be drawn to God, to be in perfect conformity to his will. Then the cold, hard heart will be melted away by the grace and love of God, which will appear in power. God will be glorified through the human instrumentalities. Self is the great hindrance to this work. Just as soon as the men in positions of trust realize their inability to do God's work and submit to God's wisdom, the Lord can work with them. He will supply all our necessities if we will empty the soul of self. And when God works, give His name the glory. Do not receive praise from men. When self is abased, God can work. Israel exalted herself, and the Lord abased her.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not.
Do ye think that the Scriptures saith in vain, The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. These lessons every church member should learn. There is need of close self-examination in the light of the Word of God, that we may do the work essential to be done. December 1, 1910. Work While the Day Lasts. Ellen G. White. Never did the Lord Jesus confine his labors to one place. We read of him that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from beyond Jordan. Again we read, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands upon them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed, and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Christian missionary work was to be done in all places. The truth was to go from point to point. The disciples were to leave an example of how to establish the chain of truth, link after link. Christ worked as he desired them and all other laborers to work. The town and cities of Palestine resounded with the truths that fell from his lips. How essential it is that today the truth be proclaimed in the same way. The world is our field of missionary toil. Everywhere the light of truth is to shine forth, that hearts, now in the sleep of ignorance, may be awakened and converted. In all countries and cities the gospel is to be proclaimed. The seed of truth must be sown in the soil of the heart, in order that it may spring up and bear fruit. God's servants are to be laborers in places nigh and afar off, going to the regions beyond, even preparing to embrace a larger circumference. They are to work while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man can work. A Savior uplifted on the cross is to be presented, and from many voices is to be heard the word, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Churches are to be organized and plans laid for work to be done by members of the newly organized churches. This gospel missionary work is to keep reaching out and annexing new territory, enlarging the cultivated portions of the vineyard. The circle is to extend until it belts the world. As workers go forth filled with earnest, happy zeal, thrilling with the love of God, the whole church at home is revived, for the success of the workers is regarded as a subject of deep, personal concern to every member of the church.